Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Once again, this isn't envy and jealousy from me, because I want the story. I think for Viking fans, including Adam Carter, it is envy and jealousy. Because the Vikings basically have a different quarterback every year. Since 1992. Dan, can you even look this up on the fly? We got that noise again, Dan. 1992. Which Vikings quarterback, since Favre started in September of 92, came in for the Magic Man? What's our guess? Which Viking quarterback started the most games? Dante?
Yes.
I would assume,
had
right?
Had to have been Dante.
Has to be Dante. I mean, who else could it be?
Brad Johnson.
Brad's. Is it kind of just that era?
92. Is that, yeah, we're past.
How about Warren Wilson? Warren Moon was, what, 3 years?
Yeah. We're past the Wade Wilson era, right?
But Dante was 2000 through maybe 2005 or so. So it's that right there. So just look up how many games maybe Culpepper started. That might be the easiest way to go. Since 1992, when Favre came in, they've won the division 11 times. They finished last. What's your guess? How many times?
Finished last in the division?
Last in the division.
Zero.
Once, 2005. 2005, that is it. Conference championship. 2016. They won the Super Bowl in 2010, but they went back to the conference championship in 2014. They lost the conference championship in 2007. That was Favre's last game, right? That was the ice-cold game.
Giants.
Yep, the Giants game.
It's cold as hell out there.
It was cold. I think that's when Brett at that point decided, I don't want to get hit in the cold. Did you see Dante?
Dante started 80 games.
Yeah, so he's clearly the leader. The conference championship loss in 16 had to be to the Falcons when they just got blown out. And then the one in 14 had to be the Seattle game where they had the big lead and threw it away. They should have won back-to-back Super Bowls in 96 and 97. They won it over a weak New England team. And then they were better than that Denver team. You know, that's the, you know, Elway finally wins one. They should have won that one. But they win two Super Bowls with these two guys. If A-Rodge would announce today he's retiring, would you say they've had two of the 10 greatest quarterbacks of all time? It's so tough to judge because the numbers skew everything, right? Because Unitas.
Weren't we talking just a couple of years ago about Aaron Rodgers being the best to have ever played the position?
Well, here's what I said. And it's all skewed athletically over and over again because there'll be somebody better. But at his best, I don't think I've ever watched anybody play quarterback better than Aaron Rodgers. At his absolute best, when he's athletic, when he's smart, his accuracy. But it's in an era when Tom Brady clearly has been a better quarterback.
Mm-hmm.
I'm just saying at Rodgers' absolute best. But, yeah, if you said who's accomplished more, it's not – I mean, one guy's got six, one's got one. Rodgers would be over there in the corner, raise his hand, goes, I had Mike McCarthy. He's got Bill Belichick.
Yeah.
Right? But at worst, two of the top 15 of all time. So if it's simply, and text me, 651-989-9226, or Facebook, because I put this up on Facebook, and I think we've had this debate before here too, facebook.com/Chad Hartman Show. Have the Packers underachieved winning only two Super Bowls with these two guys? Because I'm saying absolutely yes.
Yeah, I don't even think that it's that controversial of a question.
No, I don't.
Not controversial, but I don't even think it's that difficult of a
It's not that difficult?
Question to answer yes.
Do you think, okay, because I want to hear from Packer fans too. We had the debate yesterday, yeah. How many Packer fans. Do you think most Packer fans feel like they've underachieved?
I think in their heart of hearts, yes.
They do. Because I think they want to come back and just say, well, you haven't won
we
one.
Two more than you do.
Yeah, yeah. Well, with these two, and let alone, you know, right, with this guy Bart Starr, who I think won, you know, 700.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Was that Brett right there?
Mm-hmm.
Cook is a man who mainly detests the National Football League.
True.
But as an observer, can you say an organization has underachieved if they've won two Super Bowls under these two quarterbacks?
No. And the reason I would say no is because as critical as the quarterback position is to football, and it is clearly the single most important position in the game, there's still 10 other guys on the field on the offense and 11 other on the defense, and the guy can't do it all by himself. So, no.
And maybe a coach who...
There you go. Yeah, I mean, no, that's part of it, too. Absolutely. So, no, I don't think you can say that that they've underperformed. There's too many other variables involved.
So, Favre had Holmgren for an extended period. Then he had Ray Rose. Remember, Ray Rose, 1 year, blew him out after an 8-8 season. You remember who they brought in?
Mike Sherman.
That's right. Mike Sherman was there longer than you think. Mike Sherman was there for 6 seasons. And they went to, take a guess how many playoff games Mike Sherman won while he was there.
3?
1. No, 2. 2. He won 2 playoff. And then McCarthy started. Well, McCarthy started in 06. That was the chili situation, right? When in theory, the Vikings and Packers were fighting over chili and that we won, we really didn't win.
That's so good, though. That is so
like we hold them up in a hotel or something like that, right? Or we cancel the flight or whatever.
I'll tell you what, Brad, we'll give you all the placards you want.
Yes.
You can hold up in front of your face. He was an innovator, though. He was one of the earliest ones to hold that placard up in front of his face.
He definitely was a placard, and also he had that mic.
Yes.
He had the very thin mic. Mm-hmm. I've said this a lot. Brad Childers, for the media types on background and off the record, I liked him a lot.
Mm-hmm.
I really did.
He did have a good dry sense of
very
humor.
Good dry sense of humor. It was when he got in front of the cameras, got in front of the mics, he froze. He absolutely froze. You know, McCarthy was there for a long time and won a title and has got a street named after him. And I think most Packer fans I know just despise him. Just despise. Feel like they should have won 5 championships, you know. All right, Bills in Lakeville, hang on. I want to stay with this because I think we're trying to confirm this. Adam, have you not confirmed this yet? We're not positive. We think the Vikings and Packers are playing this weekend. Oof.
Border battle number 874.
Please tell me we're not running any border battle commercials. I mean, before I don't want to get in trouble. Can everybody just stop with the border battle? I know LeBron tried Taco Tuesday. Can we just stop with the border battle, please?
And we're not their number one rival.
No, we're not. The Bears are. All right, we're talking about the Packers, and have they wasted this opportunity? A topic that absolutely has come up before. We are far, far, far from the first people to discuss it. We've talked about it before, but it's something that's germane when you're facing Aaron Rodgers and his brilliance. And by the way, he looked below average in that first game, right, Adam? I mean, he had one drive, and when they scored, he just flipped it up there, and Jimmy Graham made a play.
There's two guys standing there.
Yeah, he was about a 3, 0-10. Okay, Bill is in Lakeville. Bill, the question is, have the Packers underachieved? We want more calls, more texts. 651-989-9226. Very serious topic involving Purdue Pharma at the bottom of the hour. Go ahead, Bill.
Yeah, they have, but part of the reason for that, everybody thinks the quarterback position is the most important. It is not. It's the offensive line. If you look at Tom Brady, that guy has more time than anyone, and when he doesn't, he's just as average as anyone else. Rodgers runs around. He makes the plays just because of his athleticism, because he don't have an offensive line. And, of course, the quarterback handles the ball, this, that. The most. But if you don't have an offensive line, and the Vikings have proven that year after year after year. Spend the money, take $84 million, and my God, Brad Johnson won a Super Bowl. You don't have to. You just need
he to. Won it. He won it as a caretaker with a dominant defense. So let me ask you this, because you're right. You can't be great without, at minimum, a very good offensive line. So if your choice was, Bill, you could either have a great quarterback or a great offensive line. Are you telling me you still rather have the great offensive line?
Because the offensive line, it also helps the running game, which relieves pressure off the quarterback. So you don't have if you just the way it is. I mean, the reason he had trouble on Monday night is because he was running for his life. Same with Trubisky. Green Bay's defense.
Hold on a second now, Bill. Right now, Brett Favre is rolling over in his grave when you just compared Aaron Rodgers to Mitchell Trubisky. Let's not go there.
I wasn't comparing him. I'm just saying that the point of having the pressure. They both had pressure. Yeah,
I know. I was just needling a little bit when you come up. All right, thank you, Bill. Let's go to another call. Let's go to Tony in Anoka. Tony, go ahead. You're on WCCO.
Why are you talking about the Packers? This is in Minnesota. Last time I checked, CCO's in Minnesota. Why are you even talking about the Packers? Who cares about the Packers?
Well, they're pretty good, right, Tony?
No, they suck this year. We're going to kill them this Sunday. The Vikings are so much better than the Packers. Look, yeah, they got two. They lucked out for the two Super Bowls they got. But back to my original point, why are we even talking about the Packers? Because we're in Minnesota. Do you talk about the Brewers? Is this the Brewers station? Are we talking about Yelich? That's too bad. Too bad for the Brewers.
Well, they're playing the Packers, and the Packers are 1-0, right? I mean,
I don't know. Last time I checked, we live in Minnesota.
So you think the Packers lucked into those two championships?
Well, come on. I mean, lucky draft. They get Favre in the trade. So lucky. And nobody wants – it was a conspiracy to get Rodgers because he fell down. So many other teams should have taken him. And he's probably on steroids, too, but I don't want to bring that up right now.
Well, I think did. I think you just did, didn't you? Do you have any proof to that, Tony?
Well, how can anybody be that quick in the pocket and see there's something going on because he sees stuff that other people don't see? Clearly he's off him now because he looks terrible.
So wait a second. Is he taking eye steroids? I don't think I've ever heard that.
I don't know if it's steroids. It's something that I was reading online an article about it, that they take this pill and they could see stuff ahead of time. And they said it was something that they can't test for in the NFL. And Roger Goodell's in on it, too, because Brady's probably on it because they think that the Packers and the Patriots are like the best two teams. So that's why they want them to win all the time. And I just think it's a conspiracy. And I think that somebody in the Viking organization probably upset Goodell along the lines why they don't give Kirk Cousins all that stuff too, because I don't think he has the same kind of stuff. But anyway, back to the point about
could you send that? Could you email that story to me? Would that be possible?
Well, I don't have an email. I get it at the shop I work at the metal bending shop that I got it. I got a hard copy of it, but I don't have an email. I don't have.
You could mail it. You could mail it to me too. I'd like to see this about this drug that enhances your vision.
Well, let me write your address down. I clearly know you're in the state of Wisconsin, but what city? I'm going to hang up. I can't take it anymore.
Wow. I'd like to find those drugs, Cook, wouldn't you?
Of course, yeah. Improve our vision. Forget about the Viking.
Carter, have you ever heard about these drugs? What was his name? Tony.
Just taking it back.
Oh, my God. He's a believer, though, right? I mean, is there any doubt?
Well, I mean, it is a sad thing about Christian Yelich.
Yeah, that's not good. I have somebody in my life, Missy. She broke her kneecap.
Oof, that can't be good.
No, and stayed with Q. That's the defense. Do we still have Pat in Golden Valley?
Yes.
Let's go to Pat in America's greatest city. Pat, how does it feel to live in America's greatest city, Golden Valley?
Well, I love it. Every single day I wake up and figure out I got to get another job with tackle just to figure out how I'm going to retire. So,
Patrick, it's always good to hear from you.
Well, I'm a baby. You play that guy's voice back a couple times, I think he'll be guaranteed it was Jesse Ventura or his brother because the guy's a dead ringer for him.
Yeah, I don't think they get along, too, the Jesse and the brother. They have some battles.
That's all kind of an act is what they told me over the years. So.
I didn't realize that. What do you think as a person who's kind of taken the pulse of the community for decades? Are Vikings fans just envious of what's going on?
Well, they've been jealous for years. But, I mean, the one thing that's interesting is I think five of the, what do we had, eight head coaches in the history of the club, five of the eight guys, their demise was all the last after they played the Packers, whether it's Burnsy or Denny or Chili or Tice or all these guys, their last game was against Green Bay. It's unbelievable.
Carter, that's a part of it, right? Kind of the mythology that when it comes to an end, it comes to an end against the Packers.
Yeah.
That is weird.
Yeah, Ben Brocklin, Steckel, all their last game was against Green Bay. Maybe that's part of the conspiracy that this guy's got. It's one of those things where, you know, they got him in for him, and they got to deal with the league to get rid of the Viking coach after they play Green Bay.
Who's going to win this Sunday, Patrick?
No, well, it'll either be a tie or it'll be Green Bay winning the game. I don't think it's any close. They got their defense is too good. You win with defense. This guy wants to talk about offensive line. You got people running around left and right all over the place. You're going to be in big trouble. So wait and see.
Patrick, always a pleasure. Keep checking in. Thank you. Patrick from Golden Valley checking in. Reacting to Tony, some suggesting it's LSD. Do we still test for LSD?
Well, he's from California.
Yeah.
Test for LSD?
Yeah, is that?
Do they ever test for LSD?
Cook, what do you think? Can you call the league on that? Do you test for LSD?
I don't really think they test for anything.
Performance-enhancing drug.
Well, that would it enhances things, apparently.
It may not be your performance, though.
Somebody's suggesting this guy needs some good weed. Tony, I don't know about that. This person's saying, it must really suck. I was both a Packer back and a Trump voter. Well, you win a lot. That's what I'd say about that. It goes well. Plenty of texts and phone calls continue to come in. Purdue Pharma and opioids, OxyContin, a deal reached with a lot of people, but a lot of people out. An author, a writer who's been covering the story for a long time on this deal, what works and what doesn't. She's with us in moments. This is a topic we and many others have covered many, many times before. What is taking place with the pharmaceutical industry, opioids, and the role of these major companies, none bigger than Purdue Pharma. Our next guest is Jan Hoffman from the New York Times. Jan has been covering this story for a long time. I'm just going to read a graph of what Jan wrote and bring her into the conversation. Thousands of municipal governments nationwide and nearly two dozen states that sued the pharmaceutical industry for the destructive opioid crisis have tentatively reached a settlement with Purdue Pharma and its owners, members of the Sackler family. Jan, good reporting. Thank you so much. I appreciate your time.
Thank you for having me.
Obviously, this is an enormous story, but part of the story that's so compelling, Jan, is the split that we have, that you still have many states, I think it's, 25 some states, Minnesota included, mm-hmm. where the attorney general in this state, Keith Ellison, he sent an email to us saying, not enough. Can you just talk about that divide between those who've said yes and those who've said, yep, this is good enough?
It's really tricky because it's unclear whether the resistance is strong enough to upend the entire deal. The states who are supporting the deal, and they are, by the way, standing alongside 2,300 cities, counties, hospitals, unions who have sued pharma in federal court, have said, look, we can't wring anything more out of them, a bird in the hand and all that. Let's take the money they're going to offer, because if they go into bankruptcy, who knows what we're going to get. While the states who are refusing to settle, like Minnesota, have said, wait a minute, we think they've got a lot more that they should give us, and let's not let them get away with it.
So the Sackler family itself, they're giving $3 billion.
Over 7 years.
Is the total between 10 and 12 billion when you include the company also?
Well, that's an excellent question. The reason we did not repeat those numbers in our story.
Yeah, because I noticed that. You didn't put that in there.
Purposely didn't do that, because that seems to me and many of my colleagues to be very fuzzy and imprecise, because there are too many factors in this deal that really are too speculative to be able to put a hard number on. I think that the Purdue-Sackler side would like to think that people think it's valued at $10 to $12 billion because it looks better, but so much of the deal is going to happen in the future, and we don't even know what the worth of some of the things for sale are going to be.
Do we know what Purdue Pharma itself is worth?
We do not.
Yeah.
Because it's a privately held company.
Yeah, I was just going to say, because when we talk about when the other states, going to be led here by Keith Ellison, when they're, you know, taking that risk or feeling like there's more there, it is a risk. It is potentially costing you a lot of money.
Absolutely, and that's why the states who have settled and the 2,300 cases in federal court have settled said, we know this is a firm deal up front. Let's grab it. Because regardless of which way we go, whether we support the deal or don't support the deal, Purdue's going to go into bankruptcy. And legally, once a company goes into bankruptcy, litigation against it is temporarily halted. So it gets really, really complicated, very messy, and for states that are desperate for resources to begin to solve their horrible problems occasioned by the opioid crisis, they want the money, they want reparation now.
Jan, most people believe that they are headed, Purdue Pharma, for bankruptcy at some point. It's just a matter of when it happens, pending all these type of negotiations.
It could be a matter of weeks, even days. But understand that the popular notion of bankruptcy doesn't mean there's no money left in the till.
Right.
Absolutely not.
Just expand on that a little bit.
The goal, there are, I'll try not to walk you too carefully into the weeds because I get lost there myself.
Trust me.
But essentially, you can either go into bankruptcy with a plan ahead that you present to a bankruptcy judge, with it, therefore saying this is how we're going to apportion our resources once the company is reconfigured. Or you can say to the judge, hey, we're calling bankruptcy now. Let all the creditors get in line and fight it out with themselves. The reason some states and the 2,300 federal cases want to settle now is they want to get to the front of the line and get a guarantee.
Expand on this federal trial, which is about to start in 6 weeks.
Mm-hmm. There are, as I said, right now about 2,300 cases from across the country that have been essentially consolidated in one court in Cleveland under a judge who probably is overseeing the most complicated litigation in American history.
That's a pretty powerful statement.
Yeah, and frankly, I don't think anybody can come up with an example that contravenes
okay.
it.
Yep.
They're going to take two local cases, two Ohio County cases, to use as what's known as a bellwether trial. Essentially, they're going to test the value of these cases by trying them out with two Ohio cases first. And that's going to give a signal to both the plaintiffs and the defendants to see what does a jury really think when it hears the evidence? What kind of price is it going to put on the evidence that's going to be coming out in court? And hopefully, the judge's idea and many people who are watching this think that either right on the eve of trial or by the end of trial itself, there'll be even more settlements.
Jan Hoffman is with us, New York Times, and Purdue Pharma et al., right? This partial settlement announced, those folks who said no, the trial coming up, bankruptcy conversations.
It is extraordinarily complicated and sprawling, and what's I find particularly heartbreaking is that people are suffering.
Yes.
There are systems that are out of line because the foster care system is bleeding money because it's taking care of kids who've had to go into the system. Criminal justice has been bled because they have to send officers out to be first responders for overdoses. Healthcare systems are being bled dry. Families are ripped apart. And meanwhile, this is going to be tied up in the courts for years. That's why a number of the states said, let's just get the money from at least one company and get going.
All those groups are so important to note. And here's another group I hear from a lot, too, when I talk about this, because I've had many interviews over the years. I'll hear from the folks saying, wait a sec, what about me? I take opioids the right way. I'm not abusing them. And right. Now it's becoming tougher and tougher for me
Absolutely.
To get my medicine.
Absolutely. That there is a very kind of understandably angry and miserable population of chronic pain patients who are being tarred, you know, by extension because of the aspersions cast on opioids. There is definitely a population who are vulnerable and they are helped by these medications, and it's very difficult to figure out how to protect them and keep them I don't think anyone can actually be pain-free, but to keep them as comfortable as they can manage and yet also make sure that these drugs are not misused. It's a very, very tricky procedural balance. It's a policy problem. Doctors are running scared from the drugs. Pharmacists are running scared. And there is a definite population of patients who absolutely need them. So it's really complicated.
Last couple points with Jan Hoffman from the New York Times. So when we're talking about Jan, these 2,000-plus municipalities and 20-some states saying yes, and then we've got 20-plus saying no. who's representing these entire groups? Because the Sackler family and Purdue Pharma can't be negotiating with all of them. Was it difficult to decide who's representing these huge groups?
Yes. Again, I'm going to not try to get you lost in the weeds, but essentially the 2,300 cases that are in federal court right now are represented by groups of lawyers, and they have tiers. So one group will report to the next group up and to the next group up, and then they have an executive committee. Then they have one team of lawyers who are preparing for the Ohio trial itself, another team that's negotiating. There are all these lawyers who have been assigned to different tracks. A large number of the lawyers are privately retained by the municipalities, so they are working on contingency fee. However, the states, largely though not exclusively, are using their own legal departments.
Who's next after Purdue Pharma?
Well, it's a good question, and it's a tricky one to answer. Frankly, it has to do with whoever wants to settle. There are about 24 defendants, all told. There are groups of manufacturers, including not only Purdue, but they're now out of it, but Mallinckrodt, Teva, Allergan, Endo Pharmaceutical. There are the big three distributors who are probably the ones with the deepest pockets of all, Cardinal Health, AmerisourceBergen, and but I'll remember in about 3 seconds when we get off the phone.
Then there are
the pharmaceutical chains, yep. Walgreens, right. Rite Aid, CVS. They are also in this.
Jan, you are excellent. It's a complicated story. I appreciate your time. We'll reach out again.
Thanks so much for calling.
Jan Hoffman, again, reporter, New York Times, on opioids, on Purdue Pharma, and this. And it's, well, let's talk about it briefly when we come back, because it is an interesting decision by Keith Ellison and the state, not just the state, but many others saying, nope, we're going to wait. We're not going to be a part of potentially $10 to $12 billion, not all for the state of Minnesota, clearly, but that pie, it's a risk. Is it worth it? I guess we're going to find out. Part of what Keith Ellison said on the saying no, the apparent settlement seems not yet good enough for the magnitude of death and destruction that Purdue and Sackler's caused. It's not, but I never quite understand what is enough, Dan, when we're talking about tens of thousands dying year after year after year. Yes. Let's be clear about this. Yes, there is accountability for human beings, mm-hmm. No doubt, right? If either one of our dentists, Dr. Lee Lira, the best dentist on planet Earth, and it's painful, and he rightfully prescribes us, we have to be aware, Dr. Lira has to be aware of what happened. So I get that. I'm not taking all of us off the hook, okay? But to deny proven science about addiction and its power, it is very easy for a lot of people to get very haughty and point fingers about, oh, just a druggie. You know, how many of those emails did we give the station? Why are you talking about Prince? He's just a druggie. How many people need to die from this, by the way, who are responsible, decent, kind? And maybe they're not. Maybe they're not. That's part of what society does. We don't just step in as a government and say, well, you know what? You're not quite equipped to handle this, so we're not going to help you out.
Yeah.
And by the way, who knows if it's not you next, right? So all of those have to be factored in. And there's still, and it is an older generation who still thinks this, that it's all just from street drugs. When they're downplaying the amount of people in our scenario, medicine given to us, and we keep taking it further and further. And let me be clear about this. I believe in Lee Lira 1,000,000,000%. I was just using him as an example because he's our dentist. Yeah. I know Lee wouldn't abuse it, but there are many other doctors who would, who absolutely would, and they're on the hook. So when you're one of these 25 attorney generals and other people involved in this decision, it is a very big risk. It is a very big risk, you know. Because I'm sure this wasn't the opening offer from the Sacklers.
No.
This is going layer after layer after layer after layer, and they're frauds. They're liars. They have directed these drugs into areas. When you look at the amount of drugs directed in these areas compared to the amount of people there, it is criminality. There is no doubt. But I mean, it's one thing if me and you are at Mystic and we're letting ride 16. It's a little different when you're letting ride potentially hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of millions of dollars to the state you represent, in this case, Keith Ellison here.
And you need no more evidence of how difficult a decision this is by the split amongst the attorneys general, right?
Yeah.
I mean, the number that are saying, yeah, we're going to go ahead and take this deal, and the number, I mean, it's almost even. It's almost right down the middle.
Yep.
And that tells you how difficult a decision this is. I you know, how do you do that calculus, right? How do you, I mean, first, you know, how do you calculate what any human life is worth?
Yep.
And how do you calculate what's enough? That,
right.
Where's that line where this is as good a deal as I'm going to get? I want to take it now, or we may lose everything if this company just flat goes into bankruptcy.
A lot of it is I think you're looking at this family and you're saying you're frauds. You're liars.
Sure.
We established it. We think you have so much more money available. And I don't care if this is the, you know, 750th hour of negotiations. We just think there's a lot more.
And you're a politician, right? So you know you have to be thinking ahead, thinking that if I get this wrong, if I take this deal and it turns out it was a sweetheart of a deal for this company and they're, you know, off in the Bahamas doing whatever,
yep,
then you're going to look like an idiot, and come next election, you're going to pay for that, right? I mean, there's a political consequence to this too.
All right, let's get to a couple items before we are done this hour. Dara is with us at 2:35. We're back tomorrow. Matthew Dowd, one of our favorite political guests, will be with us at 12:35 off the Democrats debate. Feisty Fridays with Shaletta in the 1 o'clock hour. My father, 2:35. A school in Chattanooga, Tennessee, a high school, having issues with tardiness. What they've done? The bathroom mirrors were painted over. The bathroom mirrors. So instead of kids just sitting there and staring at themselves over and over and over again, they've painted the mirrors. Give me a break. Again, just like the other day, vaping. Again,
yeah.
Vaping is an enormous problem. Another topic that a lot of us have covered, right, everywhere. And the idea was that Alabama high school taking the bathroom stalls away so we can see if people are vaping. Yep, we should stop that. But by the way, if I'm going to the bathroom, I should be able to have some privacy, okay? If I wash my hands and I'm not in there showing up late, I should be able to look in the mirror.
Yeah.
There are other ways to deal with this outside of taking mirrors away.
Without question. I mean, if it's as simple as putting a staff member in the bathroom during in between class times and then, okay, everybody out now.
That's
I mean,
a job I don't want, by the way.
Nobody wants that job, right? I mean, sure, yeah. I'm sure. But I'm saying just as a off the top of the head example, there are 1,000 better ways to do this. And really, kids are sitting there, they're just mesmerized doing their hair. I mean, if kids
Some are.
Maybe, but is it really that, or are they just stalling because they don't want to go to class? And if it's not this, they'll figure out another way to stall.
Yeah, you're allowed to have a mirror. Okay. The Browns, they weren't exactly plucky last Sunday when the public's darling and they were embarrassed by the Titans. Well, speaking of embarrassing, you had one moron who poured beer on Malcolm Butler, who's been playing now for a couple of years for the Titans. Well, the Browns identified the guy as a Cleveland-based DJ. Can you make money? If, like, you're a Minneapolis or St. Paul-based DJ and you're successful,
mm-hmm.
You can make a living, no doubt.
Yeah.
Can you make a healthy living?
I would think so.
Right?
Sure.
And are you just working all the time? I'm not talking the DJs who are, you know, way up there. I'm talking local DJs who are...
You're working mainly weekends, but yeah, I mean, you're working all... Yeah.
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 Can you make enough just working weekends?
Well, I mean, mainly weekends.
So yeah.
I mean, probably you're talking Thursday through Sunday.
It'd be nice if you'd have a little party, Dan, and you could have them out. So they got this guy, Eric Smith. He got a call from the vice president of ticket and sales to inform him that he'd been banned from the stadium for the beer toss. The problem is this guy, Eric Smith, by the way, at the Bearded DJ.
Check him out.
Right. I legit just got got info from at Browns telling me I've been banned from the stadium for throwing beer in Logan Ryan's face. I'm fairly certain I've been to a game since 2010.
Whoops.
He claims it wasn't the game, hasn't been game in a decade, and he was DJing at a wedding that afternoon.
Whoops.
It seems like you pretty clearly could identify that if he was DJing at the wedding. Because I don't know the Bearded DJ. He might be the most honest guy ever. He might be lying because he's caught. Yes or no, was he at the wedding, and was he at the wedding for the entire game?
Seems like a fairly easy phone call to make.
I would think we could figure that one out.
So if he hasn't been to a game since 2010, is banning him like banning me from a salad bar? Doesn't really have an effect.
Yeah, exactly. When's the last time you had lettuce?
Well, I mean, I'll have lettuce occasionally, like on a sandwich or a taco or something like that, sure.
Not the rest, though. The Storm 51 celebrations been canceled, fear of a humanitarian disaster. Because they did have enormous people sign up. The guy in the quote says, I don't want to have a Fry Festival 2.0 on their hands. I would, because I'd like to see the documentary on it again if all the folks are showing up. But yeah, the hype that this received and people expecting to show up. And by the way, they were going to resolve it. They were going to know where all the UFOs have been and what information the government has been hiding. Now, I would like to know. I'd like to see some of those files. I'd like to see it. I don't think you all were going to find out about it by showing up to Roswell. Is that where we're going?
No, it's Area 51's in Nevada, isn't it? The Nevada desert?
Yes, that's right. Yeah. What Roswell? Why am I going?
Well, that's where they found the ship, or they found the UFO.
That's right. That's
what's at Area 51 is the ship that they've got in Roswell.
Yeah, that's right. More than 2 million people said they were going. I think it might have been a little bit lower. I don't think it was quite that, but yes, they've backed away dramatically from this big event. Yes, it's another conspiracy.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.